I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It is a Friar Friday here on 97.3 The Fan. This afternoon, 2:20, Jason Adams going to be on with Gwen and Chris. But right now, it is time for our Manager's Report, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. And we were just talking about how the fan base right now needs a dose of confidence and calmness. And we know we always get that. One of the strengths of the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt, with us right now on 97.3 The Fan. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing really well, man. How are you doing?
No complaints here.
Yeah, same here. I wanted to ask you, it's kind of a two-parter, Skip, so forgive me, but we talked the last couple of days about Matt Waldron and how much he stepped up when this team needed him the most. Two-parter is, what did you see from him kind of in his last few starts, right? And then how tough is that conversation that you have to have with a guy like Matt Waldron when he's done so much? You know, this was not like a, hey, it's just a roster crunch, you'll be back in no time. It's, hey, you got to pack and you got to go to El Paso. And how tough is that for a skipper to do?
It's way harder for the player, obviously, but not an easy conversation at all. None of those conversations are, but, you know, especially with Maddie, it was one of the more challenging ones for everybody involved. The fact of the matter is, you know, we're in a really good spot, and a good reason for that is because of Matt. You know, he really pitched well for a long period of time. He also, he was the guy that stayed on term pretty much the whole season. We know we need some, over the course of a long season, it's important that, especially for guys that are going through it for some of the first times, you know, and Maddie's one of them, you know, to make sure they get the right blows over the course of the season. And, you know, just he was the guy that was able to continue to take the ball. You know, we didn't give him the All-Star break, is can typically be a time we can reset, which we did with Dylan and Michael and some of the guys, but really only gave an extra day to Waldy. There were multiple times where he just, you know, stayed on either regular rest or just an extra day. We always do our best to take care of every single guy, but it doesn't always work out. And, you know, Matt was able to take the ball. You know, we wanted to have a break for, you know, almost every guy this season. Of course, you know, Joe got his, and, you know, Vasquez has been up and down, and, you know, Michael, you know, he got a couple really with the All-Star break, was able to give him some extra days. And then, you know, kind of was a blessing that he took the comebacker in Baltimore he missed a start, and, you know, it was 11 days before he got on a game mound and pitched. So that was turned out to be a little bit of a built-in blow. And Dylan, again, also with Michael and Dylan, we've been able to, you know, take advantage of the schedule and give them extra days here and there. And then Dylan, you know, with the rain situation in Pittsburgh, you know, that created a little bit of a blow as well for him. But the wrap-up point to all of it is Matty didn't really get that. And, you know, we wanted to give him a blow at some point in the course season, and now the opportunity and time has presented itself now.
Talking to Mike Schilt, was exciting yesterday to see Fernando Tatis Jr. out there on the field, pregame sprints, going to get back into the cages either today or soon, according to what you said after the game. I know there's a reason why you're not going to put an exact timetable on it, and I won't ask you about exactly when he's coming back, but I will ask you, what are you kind of looking for in terms of how fast he can come back? Like, are there things that you want to see, boxes you still want to see checked, other than just getting him back to, you know, strength and health and being able to sprint around the bases?
Yeah, I mean, there is a timeline, there's a plan, but it only goes according to how he recovers, and so that's why you don't want to make it anything official or absolute, because it can get pushed back a day, get accelerated a day if he's feeling good, or multiple days. You know, but yeah, we don't want to. We've got a plan. You know, what we're looking for is you know, him being able to do all the baseball activities without any hindrance. You know, and every guy's a little more unique. The thing that I appreciate, first of all, is, you know, the fact that he's getting back and he's getting closer, so that's clearly good news. Him being able to ramp up his intensity is means he's getting closer, so that's good news for all of us. Every player's a little different. You know, we trust our players. We got a great medical staff. Our staff is outstanding in how they go about taking care of our guys, keeping them healthy, the ones that are on the roster, and they do a phenomenal job with the guys that are coming back from something. We really do have an A-plus medical group that work extremely hard. But, yeah, you just want to make sure that you also partner with the player. You know, Bogey, we sat him down with all the, you know, coaches, you know, field coaches, you know, infield, base running, you know, hitting, the strength conditioning, you know, of course, the medical, and, you know, Bogey weighed in as well. Same with Toddy, you know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Guys that have experience in the league that knows what it takes to get their body ready for a season or to come back from something. You know, we want to make sure they're involved. That just is common sense to me. And we've done that with Toddy, and he's been able to share what he thinks. And, you know, we'll do the appropriate amount of rehab relative to bats and, you know, throwing the bases and getting on the bases and running. And, you know, we'll trust the people that, you know, are with him when we're not with him, in the organization. And, you know, we have a lot of quality people in our player development system that'll continue to work with him when we're not around. And, you know, it takes a village, so to speak. And then, you know, we'll use our experiences too. We'll weigh in with him, and we'll get him back on the field when it's the right day.
You talk about lanes, Skip. We're talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning. You always talk about lanes, finding a lane for a certain player, whether position player, pitcher, whatever it may be. Obviously, we know and appreciate how much you prioritize defense. I mean, I think every coach does. And how tempting, though, is it for you, given what Donovan Solano's been able to do, not only off the bench, but when he gets some starts? How tempting is it for you to just, I don't know, maybe put defense on the back burner and say, we got to get his stick in the lineup?
Well, I guess it's hard to, you know, I'll answer the question. I mean, it's hard. The guy takes a great at bat. He's filled a beautiful role. I mean, you know, I like the fact that guys know what their roles are. It helps players. Roles change, you know, for a variety of reasons. But we've been able to be pretty consistent with our play based on the roles we've gotten. He's been able to get in the lineup against lefties. You know, we get him an opportunity in the right amount, at right times when he's coming off the bench. And I feel like that's been productive. I think we picked the right opportunity for him. So I feel like we got a good spot for Donovan. I guess the question I'd probably ask you back is, for who?
It's a good question. It's a fair question, yeah. Mike. It's a good question that you ask. And, yeah, I mean, If he was a really good shortstop, well, it's a pretty easy answer, right? But it's not. So I know you have to do some maneuvering here and there. And, you know, with Ariza's thumb, he's battling through it, picked up a couple knocks. Like, he's such a great dude to watch hit. You know, I mean, when you have a guy that's hitting as well, I kind of understand the finding the lane for him, and when it's working, why mess with it? So I do understand that aspect, but I just wanted to know, like, from a manager's perspective, is it something that you maybe grind over just a little bit as you're like, ah, man, I'd like to get him in there. He does give us a good AB.
Yeah, get him in there. I love the guy's at bat. I love the guy. I've known him since he was 16 years old. You know, he's a good player. He's a great at bat. You know, you know, we have good players. So I don't really know who that would be for. Sure. Still.
You talk about, you know, roles and lanes. Something you talked about earlier this week fascinated me, and I wanted just to explore it a little bit more, was the difference between playing shortstop and second base. I think for a lot of just, you know, baseball fans, you look at it and go, they're up the middle. One's a longer throw, obviously. One's a shorter throw. So you put the guy with the better arm at short, and you leave it at that. And you kind of talked about how it's so much more. Give us your perspective on why it's more different than maybe a lot of us realize.
Well, I mean, it's really depends a little bit on your background. You know, if you played both, it can be clearly easier if you've grown up playing them both. But they are different, you know, and it's I think it's easier to go from second to short. Not that it's easy. And a lot of guys have done both and been more of the utility guy, you know, but at shortstop, you're coming in, and effectively every play you're making is working towards first base, you know, whether, you know, you got the ball in the hole, that's clearly a little bit different. But, you know, pretty much everything else you're working and coming in, routine ground ball, your rhythms to first base, you know, slow roller, your rhythms to first base, your movements to first base, ball to your left. But I think the biggest one is you know, turning the double play. You know, you're coming in from first or second, getting a feed, and you're facing the, you know, first base where you're throwing, and your momentum's taking you that way. At second base, you know, even when you're coming in on the ball, on a ball that's right at you, you're still working closer to more of home plate. And of course, if you have a backhand or a chopper, you know, you're still having to throw across your body more. You know, the only ball that you're really working and flowing towards first base is that ball to your glove side, and that puts you in a rhythm to go right to first base. And then, you know, now you talk about the double play, and you know, if you've ever done it, it's just different. And so when you're making that feed, whether it's coming across the bag or coming back off the bag, depending on where the throw takes you, or you know, if the you know, pivot is a little closer to the, you know, guy that's feeding it from short, you know, you may come back off the bag. But either way, regardless of which way, and there is multiple pivots, your back is to the runner, and then you're having to open up, and your footwork is just completely different to be able to throw to first base. And you know, I know the question's been asked, or I'm guessing the question's asked based on Bogey. And, you know, again, what a tremendous job he's done, A, to be willing to go over there, and B, to acclimate as quickly as he has. He worked really hard to really do a nice job. It's probably getting settled in, but, you know, like your hip action and your pivoting, it's just, like I said, it's different. So if you're not used to it, you got a blind spot, which isn't comfortable, and you got to get used to. And then you've got different movements of your body that need to be adjusted, and how you make that pivot. So there's a fair amount to it.
Talking to Mike Schild here on Ben and Woods this morning. Obviously, Joe Musgrove back on the bump tonight. Everyone's excited to see him pitch. Everyone's excited to see him pitch against the Mets, where he has a little bit of history, Skip. And, you know, when do we – how's he feeling, number one? I know he's had two really nice starts for you. When do maybe the restrictor plates come off, or is that game-dependent and how he does?
Well, you know, you typically first of all, it's great to have Joe back. He's had really two, you know, efficient starts, effective starts, you know, efficient in pitch count and effective in results. You know, Joe's obviously a great competitor, fills up the zone, you know, has multiple pitches working, you know, so he's looked good. You know, he went from 63, I think, was his first outing. He got to 72 last outing. You know, a typical progression, but we don't force it, is probably about a 15-pitch ramp up from the previous one in games. So, you know, he's starting to get built up to where, you know, he's just a, you know, regular starter that can go out and grab six or seven, you know, but we'll, like always, we'll monitor what that looks like and see how hard he's working and evaluate that.
Mike, I know every organization takes metrics now seriously, whether it's hitting or pitching or even fielding. But I wanted to ask you about your opinion of defensive metrics, because sometimes, you know, we watch a player like Manny Machado, and he's clearly not just good. He's one of the best of all time defensively at his position at third base. Just makes it look so smooth. But he doesn't always fare that well in some of like the advanced, you know, outs above average type defensive metrics. So how much stock do you put in those defensive metric numbers versus your own personal eye test on defense?
I love using the metrics and the analytic information to, as part of the equation. It can crystallize, you know, what we're doing well, an area that can, you know, need some improvement. But it's, you know, like anything, there's nothing absolute about it. It's a wonderful resource to use. You know, and it starts to crystallize, you know, what individually we need to work on more, and then maybe get more specific with some of the, you know, is it the jump? Is it a route? Is it a certain play? And then it allows our work to be efficient with that player, or it could be something that, you know, big picture that it reflects a team that needs to be doing something more or less of. But, you know, it's definitely a tool. You know, the thing that's interesting about it is we talk about a lot internally is making sure we qualify the right information and understand the baseball side to it, because sometimes a player can get dinged for something and, you know, it may not be reflected as intuitively from the analytics side. And then that's why we spend a lot of time, which we have a great analytic department, research development department. These guys are awesome. They really do a great job. Their positioning recommendations are very, very good. You know, so we partner with our baseball side, we partner with our analytics side, and we talk about, you know, the why behind, you know, where a guy was playing or, you know, whether he made the play or not. You know, but specific to Manny and the eye test, you know, I can tell you this. I don't know who else I'd trade for him to go play third base. And I know when the game's on the line, I want the ball hit to him, and he's made plays that normal big leaguers just don't make. I mean, it makes him look easy.
All the time.
You know, he saved our bacon, you know, multiple times defensively and made some really outstanding plays and some really challenging plays that, you know, and the crony helps on the other side too, because it's not easy to make a long, accurate throw from 130 feet away on the run with your back turned. But most of the time he's pretty accurate. So I don't know if that answer your question, but that's kind of
no. It's good. I laugh because sometimes the metrics. Well, Manny's actually the 13th best third baseman in baseball. No, he's not. That's ridiculous. We all know that he's one of the best of all time, and sometimes the numbers don't always reflect that. But how you guys use it, it's an interesting answer and interesting conversation today. Good luck, of course, tonight. I will remind everybody, Padres have won 9 of their last 10 series, and they could still take this one from the Mets with a good weekend here. And we hope you do it, Mike. Thank you much for your time.
You're quite welcome. Enjoy your day.
Thank you very much. That is Mike Schilt, the manager of the Padres. Our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. Yeah, I love when he talks about the specifics of the game, like the difference between playing second and short. Something I had not really thought about much. The fact that you're a second baseman, you're facing toward the other side of the diamond. So every throw other than the one that's right to your left is now across your body. And the kind of adjustment that Xander had to make as he was going from short to second is actually in some ways harder than, as he said, going from second to short can oftentimes be easier. If you've got the arm for it.
Working downhill, man.
It's all kind of right in front of you there. So that's good stuff from Mike Schilt today. All right, we'll come back. We'll break that down. We'll get to the, we've got lots to get to still in the last couple of programs. What do we have?
Let's just go to break.
Friday Ben.
Yeah,
man.
Friday Ben. How about
misses.
Traffic? Let's
he
go
never,
to traffic
let's
here.
Let's tease traffic
on 97.3 The Fan.
On 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again to the skipper, Mike Schilt, our management report. Again, our Friar Friday player guest this afternoon with Gwynn and Chris, Jason Adam. And speaking of big guests, a little over an hour from now, Landon Donovan, coach of the Wave, going to be on with Annie and Elston. So lots to look forward to here on a Friday.
I like that term, and Brian did too, saved our bacon. I like that.
I mean, that's...
where does that come from?
That's a good question.
Saved your bacon. I saved
bacon's not something you can really save.
You can hoard it.
Yeah, but you better eat it pretty fast. It's not like it's perishable.
Well, right, if it's raw. If you cook it, you can leave...
Not that long, maybe a day or two.
Day or two.
You're not going to want to keep
bacon around. I mean, if it's there, you eat it.
Yeah. Like you cook up fresh bacon in the morning. You're not putting in the. Oh, we got three slices left. What are you going to do? Put them in the freezer?
Now, somebody's going to get.
No,
those
you're
down.
Just going to eat them. Someone's going to eat them.
He saved our bacon.
That is,
I've heard it my whole life.
I mean, it must have something to do with farms. And,
yeah, like a pig.
You know, storing stuff for the winter.
I love his laugh so much. So much.
Saved our bacon.
Saved our bacon. I love it.
There's a, that is election year, and there's a certain horse race phenomenon going right now with the Rookie of the Year race in the National League.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday was the first day, according to Las Vegas odds, that Jackson Merrill actually was now the favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year. And then what happens? He goes 0 for 4 while Paul Skeens goes out and throws 6 shutout innings against the Cincinnati Reds with 9 strikeouts. So now the horse race, kind of a little momentum on the Skeens side for a minute until Jackson Merrill, obviously going to do the next big thing that Jackson Merrill does.
Hopefully tonight.
And, you know, to tip the scales back in his favor. But I wonder if this is going to continue on.
Yeah, a little.
If they don't shut down Skeens, it'll kind of be this back and forth maybe for the rest of the season.
But that's what makes it so unfair is because Skeens doesn't have to do anything until 5 days from now.
I think that's an advantage for Merrill.
I do too.
He gets chances every day to impress the voters,
that's
whereas
true.
Skeens has one shot a week to go out there. And if he has a bad one, it could be damaging. Now, he didn't. He had a good start yesterday against the Cincinnati Reds. Looked pretty solid. Although, my goodness, who was the umpire in that game? They were calling pitches.
He got
100 miles an hour, a foot
inches.
And a half outside, and go, ooh, strike three. I'm going, okay. Those go on Skeens's... You know, final total is a strikeout. There's no asterisk. Yeah. Well, yeah, but a few of those weren't even close to being strikes.
Well, it's like Jackson Merrill's home run the other day in a blowout. You're like, that still counts as a
home
run.
Yeah, I guess so. But a 340-foot flyout doesn't count as a home run.
Right.
A strikeout does count as a strikeout, even though it should have been a ball.
A Pitching Ninja posted it last night and said, chalked.
Fastball. Chalked. Like,
so it was on the chalk line. Yeah, you've heard of, you know, painting the black.
He was painting the chalk.
He was getting 6 inches off the plate last night. You see Jackson last night after he K'd. The look of rage in his face after he swung. I think it was one of those back foot sweepers that were just disgusting by Severino. He was so mad last night. I love that. That kid does not want to give away an AB ever.
By the way, Carlos Mendoza, I thought, did a nice job with his bullpen there because... I'm sure if I was a Mets fan, you go, Severino, he's dealing. Why are you taking him out? Well, took him out for that reliever, Young?
Yeah.
And the lefty. Clearly tough on lefties. And he had the lane there with Merrill and Peralta to get a couple of lefties to prevent the Padres from getting anything going. I think that was, the top of the sixth after they took Severino out. Let's go. I mean, you're taking a guy out who's been really good, but you've got this guy who's clearly tough on lefties and gave two lefties in a row really tough at-bats in the middle of the game. That's good bullpen management by the Mets.
The ump definitely helped him out on the Peralta call. That ball was way above the zone. But, yeah, last night, definitely not my favorite Padres game of the season, certainly. But, you know, to find some positives out of it, Dylan Cease, I thought was a huge, huge positive last night, being able to rebound a little bit. And, I mean, you know, obviously we talked about the meat of the order going 0 for 15 last night. That's tough. It's tough to win ball
games. The bacon of the order.
The bottom of this order has carried us many, many games this season. Many, many games. They've done a great job.
They've saved the Padres bacon many times.
Yeah, many times.
According to the chat, one of the possible origins in the 1600s, people would call their body their bacon, like their skin. Save your bacon, this. Like saved our skin.
Saved our bacon.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I don't believe it.
I mean, we know what it means. We just don't know where it necessarily
originates. Yeah.
But it's old. It's hundreds and hundreds of years old as an expression.
Yeah. It was. I did think about that last night when I watched Skeens dealing. He got Ellie De La Cruz, I think, worked a walk. Skeens picked him off. I was like, oh, boy, it's going to be one of those nights for the Rookie of the Year, Chase. But, yeah, he'll have to wait 5 days to do it again. Jackson Merrill can
watch or longer. They stretched him out between a little bit. They may not. It may be like a once-a-week thing at most going forward for Paul Skeens the rest of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. So Jackson Merrill's got a chance. Why don't you go out and hit three home runs tonight?
He hasn't had back-to-back, you know, bad days at the plate very often this season. I'll tell you that. Few and far between. For Jackson Merrill. All right, we'll take a timeout. Look ahead. Got a little insight from the skipper about Joe Musgrove for his start tonight. We can take a look at the matchup, the rest of the Mets series this weekend. Final segment of Ben and Woods coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Of the week of Sam Levitt makes his debut as a Major League Baseball play-by-play broadcaster.
Crushed it, by the way.
Crushed it. Calls two wins. And then this morning, I just got a text from Adam earlier, making live local TV appearances on one of my competitors. We don't need to name which one.
It's Fox 5.
Fox 5. Channel 5.
Yeah, Fox.
Fine, whatever. Looking good, though. Sammy on TV as well.
It's great.
Solid week for one Sam Levitt. He'll have the pregame show for you at 5:40 today. EcoWater SoCal pregame show, first pitch 6:40 today as the Padres take on the New York Mets again. Joe Musgrove on the mound against Paul Blackburn. And pretty much Mike Schilt telling us that, well, you know, they keep an eye on Joe. He's close to like full go.
Being a starter.
I mean, if he's efficient, no reason he can't go six or even into the seventh based on, you know, somewhere in the 80-plus pitch range today. Now, obviously, they're always going to be careful and keep an eye on him, but it sounds like Joe's just about as close to, you know, 100% as most people are going to be at this point of the season. It's September. No one's 100%, but Joe looked good in his first two starts and can add 10 to 15 more pitches on this one.
Be awesome, man. Need him badly. And like I mentioned to the skipper too, it's fun to watch Joe Musgrove pitch. It's really fun to watch Joe Musgrove pitch against the Mets. You know, there is a history there. There's
different manager.
Different manager, sure. Yeah, different personnel, certainly, but you know, there's Met fans out there that don't like Joe Musgrove, and Joe Musgrove knows that. So he's excited to hopefully go out and shove tonight against the New York Mets. And they're, again, man, they remain a really scary looking team.
They're hot.
Francisco Lindor's your leadoff hitter, and you know, you've got Alonso and you've got
Vientos. 10-game hitting streak. He's been hot.
He's been really, really good.
I mean, they've had walk-offs from Winker and Francisco Alvarez in the last few days. Yeah. I mean, this is a team that's coming to San Diego clicking on many cylinders and already has some success against the Padres this year.
A lot of success.
This was never going to be an easy series for the Padres, to be certain. And, you know, the Mets are doing some scoreboard watching as well. We've been kind of doing it the last couple of weeks. The team they're cheering against most strenuously has got to be the Atlanta Braves. They were probably hoping for a little more help from the Phillies this week, but the Braves take in that series from Philadelphia, including Spencer Schwellenbach outdueling Christopher Sanchez yesterday 3-2. So, you know, the Mets, that's the team that they're closest to in the wild card race and, you know, trying to chase down. But the Braves have stabilized despite all those injuries and have not given much ground here the last couple of weeks. So that's the team right in front of the Mets right now in the wild card race.
Yeah, and in front of us, you got the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going to be at Boston this weekend. Of course, the Dodgers are going to be playing at home against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay handled the Diamondbacks for us, but now, you know, again, I'm I'm not going to worry myself too much over these results. I'm, you know, you got to go out and you got to beat the New York Mets. You got to figure out a way to win tonight against Paul Blackburn, who is not a terrifyingly scary pitcher. And you got Joe Musgrove, and you know, got to get the offense clicking again. And so, yeah, I mean, again, I like our chances. Certainly, team's good. Would love to get a little bit of that magic back. Certainly,
and obviously, the Dodgers, they're hosting the Rays, and they've stabilized as well.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, the national take on the Dodgers is that they've weathered the storm,
yep,
gotten enough back that they're looking perhaps even like the favorites again that everyone thought they would be
MLB
at
Network
the beginning of the year.
Literally had them number one as the favorites to win the World Series as of today. Padres were not in the top.
Now, I think they were bigger favorites at the start of the season even than they are right now.
They were bigger favorites at the start of the season than maybe anybody has ever been favorites. Really. I mean, they were 120 wins,
and 115
wins.
They have not solved all their issues. They've gotten players back. Their lineup is pretty healthy now.
Way better.
But their pitching rotation remains a question mark due to multiple injuries and guys who aren't going to be coming back. They're not getting several of those guys back. Dustin May's not coming back. River Ryan's not coming back. There's Tommy John surgeries there. They've been getting good starts from Gavin Stone, from Clayton Kershaw lately. Still don't know if they're going to get anything from Walker Buehler, you know, effective at least the rest of the season. So there remains question marks there that could ultimately be their undoing. But for the time being, they're a tough team. You know, that 4.5 game lead over the Padres is looking more substantial than the 2-game lead just a few days ago.
That was a fun
they
week.
Were right in the sights. Now all of a sudden, that's a pretty big ask, right? 4.5 games is a pretty big ask. Well, remember the Mets are 4.5 behind the Padres, 5.5 behind the Padres. So that's the same ask that the Mets need to catch, you know, the teams ahead of them, like the Padres and the Diamondbacks, that you're asking the Padres and the Diamondbacks to catch the Dodgers at this point, 4.5. So exactly the same that the Padres are behind the Dodgers, they are ahead of the Mets.
You guys having fun with this? I am. I mean, it's fun.
It's supposed to be fun.
It's the losses, you know, definitely sting when they happen. And I told you guys last week when it happens, it's going to be jarring. You know, and it did feel a little jarring last night, certainly. But back at it. That's the beauty of baseball. You got another game tonight. So, yeah, it's a huge series, man. It's a huge series. You live for this, though. This is what we begged for. And really, to be honest, nobody thought we would be in this type of position. All the teams like the Phillies and the Yankees and the Dodgers, they stacked so many wins at the beginning of the season. And you're seeing the Phillies right now in the chamber a little bit. I mean, they are in the chamber. They did not want to lose 2 or 3 to that team, the Atlanta Braves. And they're 74-53, 5-5 in their last 10. So they're feeling a little bit. Harper, Turner, their middle of the order in the series against the Braves were horrible. Horrible. Did not get anything going. So I looked at a Phillies thread last night. Their fans have lost their mind. I read some Padres tweets. The Phillies fans were like, you guys are bums. You're worthless. The worst team I've ever seen. I mean, it is. People are starting to lose their minds. So keep your head about you during these pennant races.
I mean, even now, the Padres are still just 3 games behind the Phillies and 2 games behind the Brewers. Unfortunately, though, you could have the second best record in the National League, and if you don't win your division, you don't get the second seed. You still get the 4th seed. The top wild card seed is the best you can get unless you catch the Dodgers. And they're the team that is, you know, pulled away to a virtually 99.99% chance at making the playoffs at this point. So you could chase down the Brewers and Phillies, and essentially it doesn't mean anything at all. You still have to go through the wild card series. I mean, you'd be home for those 3 games, but that's the only advantage you get for having the second best record in the National League if you're in the division that has the best record, which happened, remember, to the Dodgers a few years ago when they played the Giants, when they actually lost the division, 107 wins to 106. Dodgers had to go through that playoff to get through and make it to that series.
The Giants won 106 games that year. 107 games that year was insane. And you looked at their roster and you went, how did they do that? And, you know, they're still in it. You know, they're still creeping. And it's just the next, 5 weeks is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be a little excruciating.
That last week just has so much potential to be insane with going on the road, 3 against the Dodgers.
3 against the Dodgers.
3 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Diamondbacks.
I mean, at this point, you know, if the standings kind of stayed where they are, those Dodger games would be somewhat meaningless because they'd be too far for you to catch them.
Correct.
And then the Diamondbacks games maybe would be for just see who gets the home seed for a playoff series between the two teams.
Right. You know. Finish up the season on Sunday afternoon. Are you getting on a plane and heading back to San Diego for a three-game playoff series against the Diamondbacks?
Staying in Arizona.
Or do you stay there?
How much do you want to go for that? I mean, if let's say it comes down to the last day of the season, and you can either have Dylan Cease pitching to get you home field advantage, but then he can't pitch in the first two games of the wild card series
because you've used him.
Or do you just go, we'll take our chances with, you know, Matt Waldron coming up. And if we lose, fine, we're on the road, but we've got our pitching rotation set up.
I want my arms, man. I really do.
That's a scenario.
You'd still have him, though. You'd have him for game three. I mean, it depends.
If you get to game three.
How's Musgrove pitching?
I mean, there's a lot that can happen between now and then.
You can't.
But there's a real possibility that the Padres are going to face that decision in the last series of the season. Do we want to set up our pitching, or do we want to go for seeding in the playoffs in those last three games?
Does it depend on what the Diamondbacks
do
as well? Yeah,
of course. It's dependent on a whole lot of issues at the end of the year. But that very well could be something both teams are looking at. Do we want to save Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, or do we want to try to win this series so we stay at home and not have to go to San Diego? Both teams could be facing that same decision at the end of the season.
That's going to lead to some really fun sports
talk
and some callers and yeah.
No doubt about it.
I want my best arms. I'll take my chances at Chase Field.
And both that's the irony. They could be tied going into the last day of the season and both teams are going, we are totally punting on this last game because we got to save all of our pitching face this same team. Like, how about we just flip a coin?
I'll go my five against your five, and let's see what happens. And, you know, two guys were not. Martin Perez, grab the ball. You're all over him. Matt Waldron. Nah, man, you know.
I mean, again, long way off, and, you know, a lot of things have to fall into place before that's a scenario. But that's very much a scenario that no one's talked about that could very well be exactly how it plays out. All right, you've got things I like queued up for the end of the week. It's the ever-extending list.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Macy's. It's Macy's ultimate shopping event with an extra 25% off designers that rarely go on sale and 15% off beauty, too. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply today. At Macy's, we'll check traffic and then we'll come back. Things Ben likes to wrap up the week here on 97.3 The Fan.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
I like a good marching band. I like a good, thin pancake.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub. I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy.
I like good, firm banana. I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni.
I like nice hotels.
I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry.
I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like science experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight line bologna. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver are not bad colors.
I like the time change. I like Major League Baseball's new rule.
I like the radio.
I like geography.
I like the knuckle method.
I like Skippy.
And I like pie.
I like Bob Melvin. I really do. I like Jace Tingler, too. I like this day.
I like being right.
I still do like movie scores.
I like good food.
I like maps. Right.
I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation.
I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
I like having the wind go through my hair.
I think I like shows that the characters have an arc.
I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well.
I like those kind of burgers.
I like the big overflowing bag of fries.
I like those little Smarties rolls. I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo. I liked his competitive fire. I like walking around between the different lands. Steve Kerr, though, I like that. I like living on the coast. I like watching Tiger still. I like the idea of that matchup. I liked what I saw in the preseason. I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em. I like watching San Diego State basketball. I like those cashew-buttered cashews. I like cold, clear sake. I like a lot of things. I like Chick-fil-A sauce. I just like rankings. I like Steve Winwood. I like Pie Gal Poker. I like to be informed on subjects. I like Chicago. I like Tom Petty. I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure. I do like a good Matt Damon film. I like being on the same page. I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things. I like this shirt. I like Wipeout. I liked my omelet. I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie. I like the window seat. Changing the subject. I like that. I like just a standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction. Just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet.
Wow.
I feel like midnight Every buffet time. Was in there twice.
Oh, I think it was, actually. I think I heard it twice.
I've got diving into chores. I like that, which I do have to do this weekend. I also like playing golf with other people, which I will also be doing this weekend in the club championship at the GOAT.
What are your chores, by the way?
I've cleaned the shower is my next chore on the list.
Like with soft scrub?
Yes.
Because you like
that. I like the smell of soft scrub. I
like
get the soft scrub out. Enjoy that smell.
Do you use like steel wool? What do you use?
Yeah, I usually use the old sponge that is about to go from the kitchen before I break out the new one. So it's like the last use of the sponge is to clean the bathroom. And then you break out a nice new one for your kitchen.
Megadoomer says, I like that segment ended. I'll kill you, Megadoomer.
What color is your sponge? Is it blue and silver? Because those aren't bad colors.
No, they aren't bad colors. No, it's yellow and green. Those are not the best colors.
Why don't you? I would make my kids do it. Make your kids do it. That's what you should.
It won't be get done.
It won't get done right.
It won't get done right if I do that.
If I'm your age and Bo and Taylor are at house or at home, they're done for.
I know.
I'll make it so miserable on them that they beg to move.
I run my life a little differently.
You do.
Good luck to the Tier 1s. You got a game on Sunday.
Yes, we do. 1 o'clock. Orange
good luck Glenn. Good luck to the Padres. I would like to come back on
I'd like a win.
Monday or three. Would be great. Like Ryan Cohen that he was sitting in with us
Thank
today.
You, buddy. Love you. Proud of
For
you.
For executive producer Paul Reindel and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Annie and Elston with Landon Donovan coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Have a great weekend, everybody.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.